This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. How do we capture the sense of passing time in art? Well, an exhibition called Transience and Transformation tries to, with the work of three different artists, Imhatai Suwantasilp from Thailand, Jiratchaya Pripwai, also from Thailand, and Yimyen Sam from Malaysia. The show is on at A+ Works of Art until the 28th of September. And joining me to tell us more is the curator of the show, Lien Loy. How are you, Lien?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
So this theme of transience and transformation, how did that come about?
Well, initially, I was trying to find a way for all three artists to relate to one another that was outside of just this kind of monochromatic theme that they have, because all the works in the show are black and white.
Yeah, we'll get to that a bit later.
Right, exactly. And so when I started thinking about the artworks, I didn't want to just also think about the concepts, but really what in our world makes these works relevant to one another. So the show that was on before this one was on depression. And so naturally, every article that I read or every story, a headline that I came across, I always had this notion of what depression was, what it meant to people, and how depression related to these stories. And what came about coincidentally was an article that I read on Artsy about Agnes Martin's The Untroubled Mind. And it's a text based off of a collections of thoughts and inklings the artist had after kind of withdrawing from society. And it has hints of Buddhism and the ideas of enlightenment and how you get there through the aesthetics of art or how she got there through her aesthetics. And I, for some reason, after reading that text, I looked back at these artists' works and I just had this idea of all these women have used these materials, transformed them into something that's these works of art and these almost like portals in which you are able to gain a certain enlightenment. And that's why I chose the word transience, because it's a word that pops up heavily in Buddhist texts,
mm-hmm.
This idea of a state of an impermanence
that
you may reach, but you will always have to continually reach. And transformation as a word that means constantly changing from one form to another, or one state to another, which is another act or process that these artists have done in their work through either manipulating their materials or just transforming themselves.
So you mentioned the materials that they work with, and we will get into their individual works a bit later, but I am curious about what are these materials that they're talking about and that you're talking about, and why did they remind you or connect to you as to being about transience or transformation?
Well, initially, I saw Imhatai's work, and I had seen her work at the Bangkok Biennale last year in November when I went. And what striked me as interesting was that she had used hair as a material, which is so uncommon.
So human hair.
Human hair that she actually collected. And I think quite a bit of the hair that she uses is from her mother.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a very personal connection to it. But I thought at first that it was pretty gruesome.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think the immediate reaction is just almost revulsion sometimes.
Right,
yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And I found that very interesting, actually. But upon digging deeper, I started to think about the use of hair as a way to almost capture the passing of time, because hair falls every day. You know, there's this kind of alluding to the passing of ourselves, you know, the wastage and decaying of ourselves, passing of time. And that was another idea that came up that I just couldn't stop thinking about. And because in her work it's not very obvious that it's hair, I realized that it wasn't so significant that it was hair as opposed to it actually in capturing this passing of time, the stories of people and histories behind them. And then I saw in Jira Chai's work that she had this way of drawing that almost resembled hair light strokes.
Yes, yes. Right? Yeah. And even the flow of the lines.
Exactly. Yeah. There's this beautiful, poetic ceaselessness of her strokes that go from one end of the paper to the other end. And I felt that she had really captured the meditative process of her work on paper that was just so beautiful and elegant and almost like a reformed way of journaling. You know, it's like really just free drawing as opposed to free writing, mm-hmm. right? And so that was Jira Chai. And she really related back to Imatai's work. Yan Sum, though, she uses embroidery, which is a very, very delicate way of sewing. It's very involved as well because she needs to spend hours and hours on her work, just like Jira Chai is actually. So all these artists have these connections to each other. But Yan Sum, the material of her work, I thought, was so connected to textiles. And I had actually got a hint of that in Jira Chai's work because her work looks like textiles. Mm-hmm. So I was like, wow, there's actually a flow of themes that, you know, go through all of these works and all of these artists.
So what's interesting is also that all the three artists are women. Was that a deliberate choice on your part or did it just happen that way?
It actually just happened that way, but I am very conscious of the fact that they're women and I wanted to highlight it in a way that didn't isolate them or isolate that fact that they were just women. And so I think I didn't make it clear that they were all women because I wanted their work to speak for themselves. But with that being said, them all being women is a chance for, I guess, Malaysia to show talent that's a bit different. Of course, I'm sure a lot of male artists have similar practice, you know, in some way, some form. But I think Yan Sum was a great pair with the two ladies because she has this very delicate sensibility with her work. It's very meticulous and thought through. I thought that she really matched the other two women. And it's very coincidental as well. Like I said, it wasn't forcibly a women's show. Mm. It just fell that way. Yeah.
How did it turn out that there were these two Thai artists and then the Malaysian artist Yan Sum? How did that end up happening?
So our director Joshua Lim, he has relationships with a Thai gallery in Bangkok called Nam Tong Gallery, and he had actually mentioned last year or when I started working at the gallery that we may be collaborating with other galleries. And this is actually the first time that we will be collaborating with another institution as opposed to just an artist, just a curator. So Joshua actually really liked Jira Chai and Imatai's work so much that he wanted to show them anyway. And then this year, we started working with Yan Sum. So I'm not sure if it, you know, was fate or it was calculated by Joshua or, you know, Nam Tong. But the three artists really just seemed to work well with each other. And The timing was really great. You know, Imatai and Jirachai were showing at different places that, you know, at that time when we were having our discussion. And Yansum had just come on board. So it just almost made sense.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about each of the artists and particularly what their works are.
Sure, yeah. So Imatai's works are very amorphous in the shapes. They are acrylic, graphite, and human hair on linen or paper. All her works are different. And, actually, there are a few series of works that are in view, a few pieces from each series. And so one of her works is of these kind of amorphous, bulbous, flower-like shapes. And within them are these long, languid lines that she's drawn on. And paired with those drawings are crocheted hair sculptures that are actually wrapped around these seashells. They almost resemble offerings that her mother makes every day.
Incredibly organic, isn't it? Everything about the work.
Very, very organic. They all actually have a relation to nature. And the idea that nature is a way of or means to enlightenment. Her practice actually revolves around the idea of enlightenment and also, I guess, finding a means to happiness, love, and a peace, right? But also they all have connotations of issues within Thai society. So, you know, a lot can be said about her work. But, you know, more or less they're becoming a lot more abstract in themselves, less obvious in nature, but more obvious in materials. And I think you can see that within their works because it goes from very obviously flowery shapes to more abstracted squares and rectangles. And so you can see that there's this reduction to abstraction within her work. So that's Imatai. Jirachai, her works are more emotional. A lot of the times they are impulsive, so she draws based off of her emotions and current experiences. And so what results are these textile-like drawings. Usually it almost seems as if they're in motion. And they have this very dynamic quality about them.
And they're drawn in one continuous line. Is that true?
Usually one continuous line across the sheet of paper. Mm-hmm. But like I mentioned before, it's all very impulsive. So each line is always met along the way or cross-sectioned in a way that isn't predetermined. So how she comes up with these drawings is purely based of how she feels. And so I said in my writing that they almost resemble visual journals. And you really can read how she's feeling at the moment of time. And I think that's a really great way to assess her drawings as well. Because you can see in some of them, if she's drawing a net to start with, the top left-hand corner will almost look a little more tighter than it does on the bottom right-hand corner, which actually might see the net expand and grow. And so you could always interpret that as a way of her breathing, you know, after this cathartic process of unloading her emotions. Mm-hmm. So there's this inherent catharsis in just looking at her work. And that's, I guess, the quality of Jirachai that's so encapsulating. And then Yansum is our young Malaysian emerging artist. And she is making artworks in a bid to almost like capture history and record history. So she embroiders these building structures I guess some of them look like they're taken from dilapidating buildings in Malaysia. And she embroiders them on this gauze material, which is in itself very fine. And she builds vertically. So she builds these buildings almost like they're toppling on top of each other. And in the exhibition, you'll find that these almost like scroll-like embroideries fall on top of each other in this acrylic box that they're in, almost like a reflection of the way history builds upon each other to inform the way that we experience our present day.
Mm. And what I noticed after looking at the, well, I haven't been to the exhibition yet, but looking at images from the exhibition, is that they're all black and white, like you mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. So a very monochromatic show.
That wasn't so deliberate, actually. That was something I actually came to realize after I had seen all of the works all together. And that was interesting to me because it was an afterthought. But it's a deliberate action of the artist to choose black and white. All of them actually have the ability to choose a different color because Jirachai, for example, she's working with a lot of times pen. So she has that, you know, option. But I feel as if they've deliberately chosen black and white to focus on the process of their works and the materials so that they speak louder than the colors. And the funny thing is that while the works are in black and white, they're not very graphic. They're not very two-dimensional, you know. They're not very design-oriented. They're very lively. They've got this life and I don't know, like a body about them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that really allows you to delve deeper into the work. So the lack of color really invites the audience to contemplate further about their works, which again, you know, this whole idea of contemplation goes back to this Buddhist philosophy.
Yeah.
Of, you know, trying to reach a state of enlightenment or a state of rest or something like that.
So what was your role in bringing all of these works together and deciding how they should be displayed and, you know, that interaction between the works?
Well, at the gallery, I have the role of assistant curator. I mean, in this show, I am the curator of the show. So what I do is I facilitate. To me, you know, that's how I think about it. I facilitate the bridging together of the works within my space, which is A+ Works of Art. And then I try to develop a framework for how these works come together. And for me, that meant collaborating with Nam Tong. That meant actually collaborating with the other gallery that we're working with. In this case, though, it was pretty interesting because my gallery or myself, I took care of what was within my reach, which was the space itself, and how these works were going to be displayed and interacting in the space. But then Nam Tong were more focused on the artists and how they were able to portray the works in the best way possible. So with that being said, I took what they had so gratefully done for me, and I planned out the show according to the space that I felt the works needed. And sometimes it's not just about hanging the works up, but really about thinking how these works relate to one another within the space. Because, for example, Yansum's works have a backlight. And so her works actually require the room to be very dark.
Mm.
And that's not an easy thing to confront. It's always a bit of a challenge when you have a group show and one body of work needs to be dark.
Mm-hmm.
You really can't section it off. Otherwise, then it's its own then, thing. Yes, you know, yeah. It really gets compartmentalized. And so for the show, I needed to think about what works could use light within the piece that's not about light. Mm-hmm. And what you'll see in the exhibition is that Imatai's sculptures, with the help of light, really give the observer the ability to see the finer details. And actually, in Imatai's works, the ones that she's shown in Bangkok Biennale and larger shows, she has actually used these light beds to really emphasize the meticulous quality of her crocheted hair works. So, like I said, this is not planned at all. These are extremely coincidental.
It just all fell into place.
It really all just fell into place. And I guess my role as a curator was to find these trends, these linkages within each of the artist's works that may not have been so obvious. Mm. And my privilege was to find these links, make them obvious, but also creating this framework that was able to make context of these links.
And what do you hope the visitors take away from this exhibition?
Well, I'm really hoping that they're able to look at the artworks and gain some contemplation from them, really enter the space and feel a sense of relief. You know, I write about that, and I also have referred to that in my writing of Agnes Martin's The Untroubled Mind. And a lot of that writing had to do with the yearning for inspiration and freedom in a way that was almost resembled enlightenment. And one of the ways that Agnes Martin said she could reach that was through artwork, you know, paintings that allowed for this kind of rest. Mm. And I think for the show, I really would love to see people leave with this sense of relief. Mm. Yeah, a sense of, you know, calmness.
And I suppose because when you talk about transience and transformation, it's also about taking a pause to recognize that that process is happening as well, isn't it?
Right, exactly. And I feel like it, within that pause, you're able to really tap into this self-reflection. You're able to really recognize the world that we live in outside of the chaos of it. And I guess that is the privilege of art as well. Hmm. The opportunity to reflect within the artwork that the artwork that doesn't demand anything of you, but rather invites you, you know, to have this contemplation and free of, you know, of anything outside of it. You are wholly invited to be engrossed in the work, to, you know, to understand it the way you like to interpret it the way you see fit, the way that fits into your life as well. So in a way, the act of viewing the work should offer the viewer an opportunity to contemplate and self-reflect, which I feel that the artworks themselves embody as well.
Well, thank you so much, Leanne.
Thank you so much.
I've been speaking to Leanne Loy, curator of an art exhibition called Transience and Transformation, which features the works of artists Imatai Suwantanasilp, Jirachaya Pripuai, and Yimyen Sam. It's happening at the A+ Works of Art until the 28th of September. For more information, go to facebook.com/aplusart.asia. If you've missed any part of this interview or any previous Front Row segments, you can download the podcasts on bfm.my, on our BFM app, and on Spotify. You've been listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.